Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to what I honestly believe is the most awesome city in the world, Houston, Texas. You're right here in my living room. I'm on the 19th floor here, right in the Texas Medical Center. And you can see right behind me all the beautiful Texas Medical Centers. I remember when I first moved down here, I was trying to explain to my mom that was living in Orlando at the time. And I was trying to tell her, you know, Mom, there's a hospital on every block. And she couldn't understand. You mean there's more than one hospital right there in the middle of Houston? This little area right here, just the Texas Medical Center, is bigger than downtown Dallas. And I just love that we have every specialized hospital and the best in the world within a block or two. MD Anderson is the best cancer centers right over here. Texas Children's, Methodist, Bentob Hospital, which is one of the best emergency room hospitals in the world. Memorial Hermann. I work for Baylor College of Medicine, and I just personally believe you can just keep on going as you go down. And then all the medical schools that are involved with our medical center just makes this an awesome place to be. So if you're in the medical field or if you're sick, Houston is the place to come and get a job, get a career, or to get the medical attention that you need, because my tower right here is filled up about 10% of people that are here just for treatment. They have rooms here that they can come in and stay while they're being treated at some of the best medical facilities in the country, in the world. So welcome to the program tonight, Breaking the Silence. And, you know, we came up with this program about 5.5 years ago. Come August, last of July, August, we'll be hitting our 6th year, believe it or not. And it's difficult to get good guests on that have authentic, genuine lives, that have a vein of humbleness. But the authenticity is what I am attracted to as far as I want them on. And when I get a guest on, like our guest tonight, that is so authentic and genuine, I immediately say, hey, we come back. And Aretha has agreed to come back to be our guest by popular demand tonight. So she's going to be on the program here just in a second. And believe it or not, she is in with Tyler Perry on the BET comedy show that's in its 5th season called Assisted Living. And if you want a good chuckle, if you want a good laugh, you want to watch that show, Assisted Living by Tyler Perry. It's one of his shows that he produces and directs. And our guest tonight stars on that show and has been on that show for several years, several seasons. Before we get to that, I want to let you know you can get involved. You can actually call her tonight. You can have a comment. You can have a thought. And you can do that by calling in to the wonderful BBS radio station at 888-627-6008. And Thomas will patch you right through to us tonight. Or you can get on the Facebook, Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. I'm looking at it right now. Looks like we are up and running. And you can comment on there. And during our commercial break in about 24 minutes, I'll look on there to see if there's a comment, or you can text me right here on my private cell phone number, 832. It's not so private. Everybody in the world knows it. 832-396-6525. And when I hear it vibrate or jingle or whatever off to the side, when I have a chance, I will check that and we'll share your comment there. I don't know what kind of week you had, but it's been a busy week for me. We've had a birthday party for my granddaughter, and we've had all kinds of things happening around town and at work, and things just seem to be really getting busier as we get to that true springtime and Easter time, and things at church start picking up, and it gets a little more busy. I'm speaking. I think in the month of April, I'm speaking 23 times in 30 days. And I believe that's right. It's 23 or 25 times. And I will be tomorrow in North Hollywood, California, speaking to them, and be going 2 hours there. I'll be traveling to Abilene, Texas, later on in the week. I have a couple others between Monday and Friday. And then starting Sunday again, I'll be right back on with an afternoon, I believe, in San Antonio, Sunday afternoon. And then it just picks up. I'll be in Michigan this month, just going around the country, speaking and talking. And I really love to be able to meet new people, interact with them, eyeball, and touch their lives, and them touch mine. And I just love that. And I want to let you know that, I'm 62 years old, and I'll be 62 years old, believe it or not, coming up in July. And I've made so many mistakes in my life. And I want to let you know just a few things that I jotted down right before we came on. And I try to do it fresh, right off the top of my head, so it's not boring and old stuff that you get off the internet. But one of the things that I want to let you know, that if you think you have already missed your chance in life, I want to remind you, you're wrong. No matter what age you are, no matter how many missed opportunities you've had in the past, one of the mistakes I've made in life was I thought I'd already missed my chance to do or to achieve or to accomplish a dream, something that I've always wanted to do. It's not too late for you. Don't make the same mistake I did and wait too long, and then you feel like you're chasing that dream. No, you still have an opportunity to make it. Enjoy every moment of your life, including this one right now, and make it a fresh start. You can still accomplish whatever it is, and you're never too old. And the older that I get, I want to remind you and myself every morning when I'm shaving, you're not too old. You can still do it. Get up and go grab your dream. Also, I made the mistake of changing who I was to satisfy other people. Thanks for playing that game. That is so wrong. Now, we have one of the best TV actresses, I believe, in the country on the show tonight. But you can be that in the role that you're in. But when the lights go down and you walk off stage, you better know exactly who you are and stick to that. Because if you're only gaining friends because you're wanting to satisfy and change who you are to make them happy, you're going to be really disappointed one day, because once your true self starts combating with that, it's going to end up letting you down. Be who you are. Don't change to satisfy anybody else. Be that true, genuine authenticity in who God made you to be. Also, I made the mistake of way too many years, way too many days, way too many hours of putting up with negative people and their negative thinking. That negative thinking is stinking thinking. I want to tell you what, walk away from that, get away from that, put boundaries and borders around you to protect yourself from that. Because the higher you go, the more dreams that you achieve, the more success that you find in your life, somehow it attracts and magnetizes those naysayers that want to grab you and start dragging you right back down on their level. Don't allow that to happen. You've reached the level that you need to be, and always try to help somebody else come up that ladder too. You never want to, because on your way down, you may see them. So you want to make sure you're good to them too. But the more success you have, the more naysayers that you have talking bad about you. Don't let that affect you. And if the Facebook post and the negative things and the thumbs down and the dislikes or whatever they do now on Facebook, I don't get on social media. And the reason why? Is because I don't want to hear all the negative stuff. I don't read my reviews of my book on Amazon. I don't know if they're good or bad. I don't like doing that. Because one thing you can do is you can take that negativity too serious. And then you can also take that positivity too serious. So either way, I believe it hurts you. So I just try to ignore all that and just do the best I can with whatever I have. There's a story, and then I'm going to shut up because I have five or eight more, but I'll talk about them next week. There's a story for President Reagan, and I just found a letter that I have from President Reagan. It's up here by my TV. I wish I'd have it. I'll show it to you. Well, let me get it. Hang on just a second. Just so you don't think I'm lying. I got this letter from the White House from Ronald Reagan, June 1st, 1982. And he was thanking me for doing what I was doing to try to make positive impacts on people's lives. And that's a keeper now. And I just found that in an old box that I was cleaning out my office the other day. I thought, oh, I forgot I even had that. And it supposedly signed, it's probably one of those auto pen of Joe Biden's. Probably signed at the bottom of this. I don't know. But anyway, there's a story about Ronald Reagan with one of his assistants, and he gave him a job to do. And one of his assistants came back in with the paperwork, and it's set on his desk. And Ronald Reagan said, okay, come back tomorrow, and I'll let you know. The guy came back tomorrow, his assistant, and he said, is this the best you can do? And he picked up the copy. And he left. Same thing had brought it back the next day. And he said, come back in a couple hours. The assistant came back in a couple hours. And President Reagan looked at him and he said, is this really the best that you can do? He handed it back to him, picked it up, walked out of the office, came back a couple of days later, and set this pile of paperwork on this project on his desk. He said, President, this is the absolutely best that I can do. Here it is. And President Reagan said, thank you. Now I'll read it. And I love that story because if there's something that you're doing in your life that is not the best that you can do, keep doing it. Keep working at it. Keep messing with it. Keep adding to it. Become everything that you can be, but I want to make sure my last breath is helping somebody else and heading towards Jesus. I want somebody to say, well, we don't know if Greg's dead or not, but the last time we saw him, he was heading to a speech or he was heading to go talk at church. He was heading to do something that God's called him to do. That's what you want to leave. And I want to leave that legacy of slinging sweat, of making sure that I don't leave one day, one rock, one challenge, one opportunity to be able to impact somebody in a positive way unturned. I want to be there. I don't know if this helped you out or not, but I want to let you know that Alretha, our guest tonight, Thomas, go ahead and bring her in because I want to watch her look the other way when I start talking about how awesome she is and her bio is so awesome. You know, Alretha Thomas started her career and she found awesome success in the second half of life. That means she's probably up there past 30. I'll just grade you that. And she is now Okay, I'll keep going up. I'll play like the Bob Barker, 40, no higher, 40. But anyway, and she has done awesome work and has become a award-winning novelist, a playwright that has been acknowledged by superstars. We were just talking about this right before we got on the air, like Stevie Wonder. And she's an actress, and she's not just an actress on Tyler Perry's assisted living sitcom on BET, but she has also been on two soap operas that will probably go down one day in Guinness Book of World Records as being one of the longest and most popular Days of Our Lives and General Hospital. She has a playwright and won the NAACP Theater Award. A Shrine to Junior was nominated for that same award. She wrote and produced Mommy and Clyde, which I think is a play that also received an NAACP Theater Award nomination for the best ensemble of getting the cast together and best director. Sacrifice Simone was called an inspirational crowd pleaser by the Los Angeles Times. And Grandpa's Truth was the one that Stevie Wonder, even though he couldn't see it, got the message of the play by listening to it and being in there and catching the vibes of it. She has so many other literary awards and acknowledgments and reviews and highest praise. And the latest book that she has out is The Daughter Between Them. And there she is holding that up. I highly recommend this book to you. And I want to welcome all the way from, I believe, North LA in that area, several miles north of LA. Is that where you're at, Aretha?
Little bit east of LA.
East of LA, okay. 6 miles east of LA, somewhere in that area. Aretha, thank you for coming back on the program. It's awesome to have you back.
Thank you, Dr. Williams. It's great to be here, and I'm humbled that you would ask me to come back. I'm glad that we were able to make our schedules work. And I love the message that you gave in the beginning. Those are very encouraging words, and I was encouraged by them also, especially about it's never too late. Don't think that it's over because you reach a certain age. I remember when I was around in my 40s, I was wondering, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Because I
Yeah.
was working in corporate America. And I don't know how many people are listening now or viewing now that were here when I was here the first time around, but I'll just give a little recap.
Yeah.
For new listeners and viewers, born in Oakland, raised in San Francisco, had a rocky start. As I had mentioned before, I was scalded when I was three. I had to learn to walk again. I was molested. I was, beaten by my stepfather. I found my mother succumbed to asthma when I was 14 and she was only 36. So there was a lot of trauma in the beginning. And after my mom passed, my two siblings and I, the three others were out of the home. We moved to Compton to live with my paternal grandparents. And I had my grandfather, he had to warm, took him a minute to warm up to me. But when he did, we had, I knew he always loved me. He just had to get to know me. And we had a beautiful relationship. He got to meet the first mayor of Los Angeles, Black mayor of Los Angeles, Mayor Tom Bradley, because I got an
Yes.
award for graduating second in my high school. I went on to go to USC. I majored in journalism. That was awesome. But it was around that time that the fallout from the trauma began to take place. And I kind of went left, if you will, as the young people say. I just started being in places I shouldn't be, dealing with people I shouldn't have been with, looking for love in all the wrong places, drinking too much. I just spiraled out. I hit rock bottom. And I accepted Christ when I was 11. I was baptized when I was 13. And at that point, in my early 30s, I just knew I needed to get help. And I did. I got counseling and I got to work on myself and I got to take a look at my life and all the things that I felt had hurt me, the people I had resentments for and anger and rage. And I got to look at the person I was working with told me, look at the part you played in it because it will take you out of the victim role. And I couldn't see as a child, three, what part did I have in being scalded by a neighbor, but I forced myself to really look at that. I said, well, maybe if I hadn't been near the open window, Maybe if I wasn't reading that day, maybe if I had gotten up when I saw her approaching, but I was too little to put two and two together. I would never think that someone would be out to hurt a
Right.
child like that. But by doing that, it got me out of the victim role, and I was able to say, okay, I forgive Alretha. And even with the molester, I end up having a lot of compassion for him because I said, for a grown man to get pleasure from a child, that's sick. That he has to have, probably have a lot of self-loathing, a lot of hatred for himself. And I actually cried for this man because I thought about that's probably something he couldn't help, he didn't want to do. And God knows where he is today. He's probably no longer with us. But I was able to forgive him. I said, well, what part did I have played in it? I was only 5 or 6. I could have screamed. I could have told my mother. I didn't think to do those things. Even though I knew it is, it, I knew at the time it was intuitively, I knew it wasn't right what he was doing, but I didn't have the voice to express it. So I forgave myself for that, and I went on and on. And when I got through doing this, which took like a 6-month process, Dr. Williams, it freed me. Forgiveness is so powerful because it freed me. I wrote letters to people that were no longer around, people that I had hurt when I was out there going crazy. I asked their forgiveness, and it was just forgiveness and freedom all the way around. And it allowed me to step into my full creativity. It allowed me to step into my purpose. And that purpose, as I found, was acting and writing, acting and writing. And so I got in corporate America, and I asked my husband in 2016, how would you feel about me going back into acting and writing full time if I can make the math math, as the young people say? And he was all for it. And 2016, I left corporate America. I stepped out on faith. I had been in acting in the 20s before I had to step away. So I had some old footage, got an agent, took off. And then 2020, yes, the pandemic hit. So everything came to a screeching halt. And I was like, oh Lord, what am I going to do? Father, what are you doing, Lord? And then I got this audition for Tyler Perry Assisted Living. I was excited, but I was never thought I'd get that. I thought Felicia Rashad, who I love, oh, she's a bit older than me. I said, she'll get this. And did the audition. They'll put 100% in. And then a couple of weeks later, got a call from my agent, and she was like, they're making us an offer. And I was like, oh, because I had divorced myself from offer for what? She said, well, they want to offer you the role of Anastasia Devereaux on Tyler Perry Assisted Living. They're flying you out this weekend. And I was, I just started screaming, it's God, it's God, it's God. Oh. I was so grateful and so happy. And I just got to go there, and it was around COVID, so we were quarantined. So Tyler sent someone to COVID test me before I left. When I got there, I was COVID tested. He COVID tested through the week. We stayed in the Army base, which is studio, and I got to roommate with some great people and got to meet Tyler my second year there. And it was just amazing working with David and Tamela Mann and Naeem Lynch, Anthony Brown, Courtney Nicole. It was just an amazing experience. I still pinch myself today. And yes, the show, we're in our fifth season. Tuesday night, this Tuesday, 9:30 BET, you can catch a new episode of Tyler Perry Assisted Living.
And how many
And yeah.
episodes are in the second half of this fifth season?
There's only 6 left. We kind of had 2 breaks. The season is 22 episodes, but there are only 6 left this time. So it's going to run the end of this month and all through April. And they're great episodes. And then season 6 should start up sometime this fall. So
And
lots to
what's that
look
look
forward
like for somebody like me that, I have never even been on a stage set? What's that like?
Oh my
Or
God.
is it in Atlanta?
It's in Atlanta,
That's where
huge
Tyler Perry's
studio.
studios are at,
Yes, it's
right?
in Atlanta, huge, acres and acres. So my first time there was just amazing. We have a tram that takes us to the lot, to the stage set, and it's a collaborative effort, and that's what's so amazing about it, because you have your camera people, you have your sound people, you have your directors, your assistant directors, your production people, production assistants, hair, makeup, wardrobe. It's very collaborative. And it's so impressive because Tyler has hired some of the most talented people in the industry, and they know what they're doing. And we come together just like clockwork. And when we get to set, everybody's ready. You know, we have people that read with us, the actors, we get together and run lines. And when you hit that set, we do our rehearsal. Derek Doose, Mark Swinton, those are a couple of our directors. You get up, get there. And for me, my first time when I stepped on set, I was home. It was the most, I stood there and I just looked around and I had done the work. You know, opportunity and preparation meets for success. I had done the work. I had developed my character. I knew who Anastasia was based on what the writers had given me and what I added to her. I had worked my scripts. I had broken them down. I knew what my objective were. I didn't want to be the weak link because these people had been working together already during season one. I came on
Right.
season two. So I wanted to add, not subtract, to the production. So I came ready to hit the ground running. And I remember standing there and it was surreal. And I was standing there and I was thinking about the little scared girl. I was thinking about the little girl that wet the bed and who would be frightened the next day and who would try to hide her sheets and would get the extension cord beatings. And I looked at that and said, my gosh, how did I go from living
So
in
that went through your
terror?
mind while you're
Yeah, when
standing
I was
there that
standing there
first day on
before
the
they
set.
said action, when we were first getting on set. Once I get on set and we're about to start, then I let everything go and I focus and I stay in the moment. But while we were in the preparation, that crossed my mind. I said, what a mighty God we have. Look how he said, your latter days will be better than your former. Look how he said, I have a mind to do, give you what is good, not harm you. He was there through the trauma and he got me to that point where I'm living my dream. Because you know what's really wild? When I was in elementary school, when I was a little girl, they came to our school for this show in San Francisco called Zoom. And they were looking for kids to be on the show. And I got picked. And I remember my mom was sick, so my big sister took me to CBS Studios in San Francisco, KPIX, and they interviewed me. But I was broken. I was shattered, if you will. I was withdrawn. They liked how I looked, but I didn't have any confidence because I was destroyed. So, but look how that was like a foreshadowing. From that point going full circle, if it had been a movie, you could have got a picture of me, that little girl, all withdrawn, and they were asking questions. And needless to say, I didn't get cast in the show because I was broken. But
Yeah.
look how God took those broken pieces, put them together. And here I am, a million years later, standing on set at Tyler Perry Studios, ready to hit the ground running, confident, action. I did it.
Wow,
Now
living the
that's
dream life.
what a mighty God. That's a
So
God
everybody
moment.
that's listening tonight that has gone through the stuff, and maybe at that point of your early 30s, spiraling out of control.
20s. And when I finally got to my early 30s, that's when a light bulb went off. I
That's when
don't
it
have
went
to live
off.
like this.
Then, there, by listening to this story tonight, there is hope that no matter what you've gone through, don't give up. Don't
No.
jump off the ledge. Don't, pull the sheets over your head and say nothing can ever happen, because it does, doesn't it?
It does. You just have to. It's weird because I had a lot of trauma that was not of my own doing. But the ironic thing, the fallout from it had me doing things and making poor choices. So I was a product of my childhood. So then I couldn't blame my childhood anymore. I had to, at that point, say, okay, we got to do something different. I got to do something different. So I got back in my faith. I got confident. I started making better chances. But like I said, the key was the forgiveness. That's
Yeah.
when things begin to turn. And then I begin to love Aretha because I hated me, because I internalized everything. I had bulimia, I had anorexia, because I hated me. Once I start forgiving me, this beautiful flower started to unfold, and I start realizing, wait a minute, I'm lovable. I deserve love. I'm a child of God. Those things that happened to me aren't me. They just what happened to me. I'm beautiful, worthy of love. And then I begin to love me. And once I begin to love me, then I can love others. And then I can, my esteem start building because I started loving on others and doing for others, doing esteemable things, which built my self-esteem. And I
I'll tell
started
you what,
attracting all this
we're this
positivity.
close from hitting
oil or gold in the mind. And I want to drill down a little bit deeper in this forgiveness and how it started that snowball of success for you. We're going to do that just on the other side of this short commercial break. Let's
Yes.
each take a little drink of water, then we're going to come back and hit
Oh,
that hard because you said something and I want to see what you meant by that on the other side of
yes.
this break. 888-627-6008. I just wish right now I had about 2 more hours and we could just let this go tonight because our Aretha's on a roll. So join us if you have a comment, if you have a question, but you don't want to miss this last half. So hang right with us for the last half of Breaking the Silence. We'll be right back.
Get ready for a life-changing journey. From the best-selling author of Shattered by the Darkness and When the Dark Clouds Come, Dr. Gregory Williams is back with his highly anticipated third book, Embracing Your Scars, Learning How to Turn Life's Pain into Life's Power and Purpose. Have you ever wondered how to transform your struggles into strength? Do you want to stop hiding behind the pain, the heartache, and instead learn how to turn those scars into the very fuel that propels you towards greatness? If you do, then this book is for you. In Embracing Your Scars, Dr. Williams shows you how to take the negative experiences of your past and turn them into the very source of your future success. Don't miss out, because your transformation begins here. The book is available soon on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever great books are sold.
All right, welcome back. I tell you what, Aretha, you were talking just before we went to the commercial about forgiveness. Every time I bring up forgiveness on the program, or a guest does, I get all kinds of texts or comments that say, wait, the person, the SOB, the old son of a gun, doesn't deserve to be forgiven. Now, you mentioned it while you were on this great roll that forgiving yourself was huge. Did you also forgive everyone else? Or where did that balance go? Hey, wait, it was more forgiving of me that caused everything to start breaking loose, and foundational truth was coming back to you, and you were being usable.
I believe it was the equal because we were all on the list. You know, my list of people and places and things that I had to forgive. God was number one. My mother was number two. My biological father, three. My stepfather, four. I was five, the molester, and so on. So I was on the list with all the tormentors, with everybody else that I had. So I equally forgave. And once you forgive, it's really you, because you're giving these people, when you're holding grudges and you're holding this anger and resentment, you're giving that person free rent in your head. They're going on
Oh.
about their life. They don't even know you're thinking about them. You're walking around with all this and with all this unease, which causes disease. And I believe that's why there's a lot of neurosis, there's a lot of disease, there's cancers, there's all these things. Because when we carry this, it's a cancer, literally, and it will cause you to be ill. You won't be able to sleep. If you're carrying this, you can't sleep well. So you know if you don't sleep well, your immune system is compromised. That's going to cause you to be ill. You know, I praise God for relative good health, but I believe a lot of it has to do with I can't carry grudges. I can't, I just have to, it's uncomfortable. I've had times in my life, many times where I may get into it with a cousin, a family member, someone looks at me a wrong way in the store or says something, then I may for a minute, and then I gotta let it go. I said, okay, just let that go. Let it go. Because it holds you back. And so that's key, I believe. That's when things begin to turn around for me when I went through that process and I did
So
the forgiveness.
the process was you actually writing their names down.
I wrote
You had the
everybody's
order.
name
I mean, here
down.
you go.
I wrote it down and I wrote what they did. I wrote all the things I was angry
That's
with them
good.
about. Like my biological father, I never met him, but I had baby pictures with him. But I wrote, you weren't there for me. You left, not knowing what his story was because I couldn't be around him. I didn't know where he was. But I just said I was mad because you weren't there. You weren't there to protect me. You weren't there to keep me getting beaten and, molested. You left. You didn't help. All those things, And then I said all that, and then I put my part in. Okay, so what is my part in it? What part could I possibly have in my biological father leaving or not being there for me?
Right.
And I would make up things just to put myself in a seat of empowerment. Like I said, well, maybe I cried too much. So that made him crazy to have to leave. So I put that for me because that was the only thing I could think of. So I said, okay, so I forgive you, Aretha, for crying too much. I forgive myself for crying too much. Maybe that was one of the reasons. And I forgive you, Father, for all those things. I don't know what happened to you. You were mentally ill. You didn't have what you felt. You were shamed. Maybe you had gone off and you didn't have what it took to be a father. You didn't have anyone to mirror what fatherhood was. I did not, but I forgave both of us. And so that's what I did for each person. I forgave. I let it go. And the ones that weren't there, I just verbally act like I was talking to them. Some I wrote letters to, I burned those letters, but I got it out of me. I got
Yeah.
it out of me and I got the weight off of me.
Could
And
it be put in such a way that what you did was you put on God's eyes and looked at yourself through his eyes
I
and
did,
found the forgiveness that
because how
he.
can we expect, he says, for him to forgive us if we can't forgive others? How can we say we love him when we don't love our brother who we see all the time? How can I ask? And I'm not perfect. I did a lot of things, still do. So how can I expect for God to forgive me if I, who am I? Am I better than God? Yes, we have to forgive. We have to. It's crucial. That, and I
So
can sit here
when you do
today.
your plays, when you do your playwrights and you're doing all these novels, these award-winning writings and things of that order, do you incorporate some of the things you did wrong, some of the things you did right to create a character, or is this completely out of the blue and you just grab different things, or do you kind of, if we read everything that you ever wrote, would we have a full story, with a lot of your characteristics in it, Aretha?
Yeah, there are aspects of me. I think every writer writes what they know. They say, write what you know, write what you're passionate about. These are fictitious characters. They're not me, but there are parts of me in all the books. Like my latest book, The Daughter Between Them, about the two mothers. I lost my mom when I was 14. So I wanted to write a book about mothers and daughters, that relationship that I could vicariously experience. So you have Leslie Graham, who was the reporter. I majored in journalism, so I know what it is to, want to be a reporter. So I have that in common with her. She's a news reporter. She wants to be the first Black editor at her newspaper. She has two teenage daughters. So the story opens in the now with her, and then it alternates back and forth between the now and the past, which is Barbara Morris, who has a daughter. Now, Barbara Morris has mental issues. Her mom, she inherited them. Her mom has mental issues. She's struggling. Now, there is a connection between the two mothers. As you read the book, the connection is revealed. And I find from readers and reviews, I heard you say you don't read your reviews. I'm not as good as you. I read mine. I try not to take them to heart too much, but I do love reading reviews. But a lot of the readers say that keeps them turning, like, how are these
Yeah.
women connected? How are they connected? So you find out. But what happens in the book, Barbara Morris, her missing daughter, she knows where this daughter is. The authorities and her husband, they don't know that she knows where the daughter is. So there is something going on with the daughters and the mothers. And there's a lot of hurt that happens in this book. And so forgiveness is a big theme in this book. It goes a long ways in this book, forgiveness between before the mothers, with both the mothers. So I think in all my books, I tend to, that is a running theme, I have to say, and you're gonna find that forgiveness factor in all of my novels. You're
Yeah,
gonna
it's not
find one.
easy, is it, Aretha?
No, it's not, when someone hurts you, when someone does something to you, to forgive, because you want to be angry, you want to strike out, you want to get them back, if you will. But where is that going to get you? What is that? I'm trying to think of something that happened that I wanted to, something happened, it was small, but I wanted to snap back, as they say. I wanted to clap back. That's what they say now. I go and get on the computer, because people hide behind the computer, and they, especially with your writer, and they say nasty things. I remember someone had said something really nasty about one of my books. It was a vicious review, and you could tell that it was personal. And I wanted to just, oh, I wanted to strike back at that person. But you know what I thought? I said, for someone to write something that vicious, oh my gosh, they got to be miserable. They got to be so unhappy. And I felt for them, and I said, wow, oh my, and I prayed for them, and I let it go because I felt so bad for them after I thought the reality hit to me that, because I think about myself, I'm not going around trying to hurt people. I'm not going around leaving nasty reviews or waking up in the morning and saying, who can I hurt today? Who can I, what nasty post can I? I'm not doing that because I'm pretty peaceful and happy and content in my life. Hurt people hurt people, and so that's what you have to, and that's what you got to step back and say, don't worry about it. They're already miserable. You don't have to go there.
Yeah, and I think when you start praying for them, it's hard to dislike them, be
Yes.
resentful of them while you're praying for them.
You can't.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's so good. That's so good. Was that one of the things that inspired you with this new book? That you wanted to get out another layer of feelings with all the other books. These don't, all your books don't go together, right? They're all
No, they
independent of
don't.
themselves.
No. So the book before this one is called The Girl in the Blue
Blue
Blazer.
Blazer.
And it was a revenge thing in there. It was about a young woman, two young women that grew up, they were struggling, they were working in a dance club. And one of the young women, she meets this guy, this wealthy billionaire. And he it's all a game for him. He's there at his graduation, and he and his frat brothers, they have this bet to meet some one of these dancers, some young girl in this club who's naive, and convince her to fall in love with him, and just that he's in love with her. So he really plays around with this young woman, and she ends up getting pregnant. But what he doesn't know is that, fast forward many years later, the daughter of this young woman, the young woman ended up dying, but the daughter ends up finding out who this man is, who's actually her biological father, and gets a job in his company to bring him down. So she comes back with a vengeance, but there again, in the end, the forgiveness comes in there, so there's that, but it's the daughter mother theme. And so I have that with that book. And then
Wow.
I have a another series. The one before that was the Women on Redford Drive. And that one is about a woman who's living with her stepdaughter, and her husband comes up missing, and they're accused, her and the stepdaughter are accused of murdering him. So it's a mystery. And obviously I'm not going to say who does it. But she goes through this whole situation with him where he beats her, and she finally, the day that she gets the power and the determination to finally leave him, he comes up missing. So now she's a suspect. So I noticed that I have a lot of my books are suspense. I write in suspense. And the first book I ever wrote was like a love story when I was in the fifth grade. And the next little short story I wrote, it was dark. And I remember my teacher saying, she didn't really like that I wrote a dark story like that. She said, it was better when you wrote the romance, which I do have a romance series called the Cass and Nick series, or four books in that series. And they were acquired by Soma Mate Publishing. So they're kind of romance. But even though in the fourth book, I end up going suspense. So I've always been drawn to that dark suspense. And I think because of the trauma and because of there was a lot of dark suspense in my childhood, I tend to resonate with that. But the books don't stay there. There's always light at the end of the tunnel. There's
Right.
always hope and joy and forgiveness in the end.
When you go through the writing phase, which writing is not easy, I applaud you that you're a champion to be able to put this many books out in a relatively small period of time. Is it therapeutic for you? Do you get lost when you're writing? I mean, you're just off in a different
I
place.
do. I'm telling you, I promise you, I can sit down. Once I have my idea, my story, my characters, the outline, the plot twist, the plot points, the red herrings, you know, all the different things I'm going to bring to the story, I can sit down at 8 o'clock in the morning and start writing, and then it's midnight.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, what happened? You know, I have to pull myself away. Because I do get caught up. It just goes and it just flows. And the characters, they tend to take over a lot of times. And I may not have decided I'm not going to do this, but then I start going in this direction. Oh, okay, that's totally better. And what I do now, I used to print out so many pages, but now I don't. I don't print the book out until it's done. I save it a lot, but by doing that, it allows me to just play around like a blank canvas.
Yeah.
If I see, oh, I get an idea for this, I'm not worried about pagination or how many chapters or what. I just go in and I plug it in there. And it just has freed me and it's taken my writing to a whole new level. But people ask sometimes about writer's block. I don't know what that is. I have to force myself not to write once I get started because it just
You
comes out.
also journal personally?
I do. I have what I call my God book. So when I do my devotion, I have my book like right here. I'm just gonna reach
Oh,
over
sure.
here. This is mine. And one of my cast members, Courtney Nicole, she bought me this, and it has Assisted Living 6 on there.
Oh,
I got
neat.
a million journals because
Oh,
once
I
I
do too.
run out of one, I do another. But this is my God journal. So during my devotion, I will, I write like today, the let's see. 20 yesterday, the 20. Good morning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you for a new day. Father, thank you for getting me through so much. I appreciate you, Father. Thank you so much for helping me with the taxes. I had a little tax thing going on. What a mighty God you are. And some of them get more specific, you know, like I'll write some of my desires of my heart, you know. Good morning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I have a lot to be grateful for. Home, health, husband, friends, family, season 5 returning, commercial, coming out. So this is my journal. So it's like I call it my God journal.
That's
So,
great. I love that
yeah.
because I honestly believe that you have to get it, like you said earlier, you have to get it out
Yeah.
in the even the praises, even the gratitudes, because if not, it spoils inside of us and it can become a cancer if we don't get out the hurts and the pains too. So I
Exactly.
love journaling.
Yes.
I find great peace in that.
Yes, getting it out.
If you could only, if somebody had told you or comes down tomorrow morning and says, "Hey, Aretha, for the rest of your time on this earth, you can only do one, write or act. Which one would you choose?"
Acting.
You like acting,
Acting.
you like
Yes.
doing that.
I do. I like the challenge of getting a character, becoming that character, developing that character, taking someone else's words and making them real and embracing that dialogue, those situations, and bringing it to life. Because I love theater. I love watching movies. I love watching television shows, and I love watching great acting. And I know what it does to me. And so I'm happy to be able to do that to others too.
That's fantastic. Do you deal? Have you ever dealt with like in these 4 or 5 seasons that you've been with assisted living in the sixth season now? Do
Fifth season, we're in the fifth
fifth
season.
season that's your sixth season books. You got that journal early. Okay, good. In that, have you ever had something in a line that goes, "Hey, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not what this character would say. Can we reconsider that line?" Do you have that kind of?
I haven't had where I wanted to reconsider anything. But I've added, and they're very good. The director writers, the director is very good with that. I've had situation where I have said, "Do you mind if I add this? I think this would be great with her," you know. And they've been open to it, you know. The director at the time, very open, you know. But I tend to, because I'm a writer, I really respect the written word. And Tyler knew what he was doing when he created this character, and the writers know what they're doing. So far, they've been really true to form with her. So I haven't had anything presented to me that I felt like them, but I have added. I have added.
Do you think the next season that's coming up is going to feature you in a more expanded way or in a different? Do they give you a heads up of, hey, this next coming season you're going to be going down this journey, you're going to be experiencing this, or is it as each script's given to you, it's a surprise?
It's a surprise. Now we find out once we get the scripts, but prior to that, no. But I find that each season, like six, like I said, it'll be coming out this fall. We're in five right now. Some wonderful things are happening in six that I never imagined. So that is awesome. You know, in five that we're in right now, I see where they're taking Anastasia, making I start moving more into auditioning. This season five, I'm doing more as an actress, trying to get roles, trying to get parts. So that's exciting because as an actress, I can relate to that. But
That's
I'm
great.
always excited. That's the most exciting thing when we're about to go film again is when you get the scripts and you're just running through them trying to say, okay, what's going on with me? What's going to happen? And that is so exciting. And
I
the
bet it
writers are
is.
just so good. It is, it really is.
I bet it is. Tell you what, Alvarez, I hold up your book one more time. I just appreciate you being on the program tonight.
I appreciate being here.
There
You
it
can get
is.
this on Amazon and my website. If you go to my website, alrethathomas.com, all my social media icons are there. You click it, it'll take you to my Facebook, my Twitter, my Instagram, and my TikTok accounts.
The Daughter Between Them, I highly recommend it.
Thank
You
you.
will enjoy this book and any of Alretha's. Feel free to get on
Thank
Amazon
you.
right now and pick those up and watch her in a new episode Tuesday night. That's going to be
9:30
exciting
Pacific.
on BET. What time is
Yeah.
that on?
9:30 Pacific, our show. So that would be Central time. That would be 7:30 Central. But I think it comes on 8 o'clock Central. I
Okay.
think it comes 8 o'clock Central. But if you check your guide for BET on Monday early, you'll be able to see where it's coming
Matter of
on.
fact, if you have, while I have that Xfinity, you can just type it in, assisted
Yeah, it'll
living,
take you,
and you
yeah.
can just hit record and you won't miss an episode.
That's
Even the
awesome.
repeats, and you can catch all the seasons up.
Exactly.
And
I
that'll be awesome.
appreciate that.
Alretha, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your personal life, your hurts and your pains, but also the success of the second half of your life. Congratulations on just
Thank
getting
you.
from your agent news that you may be in a commercial. Do you know what you're going to be selling?
Well, I can't say.
Oh,
I
you can't
can't
say.
say.
Oh, doggone, I was hoping to let the cat out of the bag.
But I actually, like I said, I may be getting that, but I have booked a commercial, actually filmed it, that's going to be coming out in between now and April. So look for me. I'm going to be wearing a little gray hair. I can't say what it is, but you'll see me. You'll see me. It's pretty cool. So yeah,
That's
I
neat.
can't
That's
say
gonna be
what it
coming
is,
out
but
soon,
you'll
right?
see me. Yeah, that's coming out. Yeah.
Fantastic. Alretha, thank you so much. If you ever want to come back, you got another book or anything or something else exciting you want to share with us,
Sure.
just text or email and we'll get you on here in a New York
Will
minute. I
do.
appreciate it.
It's been great. Thank you for having me.
And I'll be watching you Tuesday night.
Thank you. God
Okay,
bless.
God bless you so much. Thank you
God
for
bless
being
you
with us.
too. Bye.
Tell you what, isn't it awesome to be able to have guests on the program that we can actually not have to rush off, and we can just say, hey, come back in a couple of weeks and let's talk some more. I feel like I have a new friend here. Now, Aretha may not feel that way, but I feel that way. And now when I watch that show, it's like, wait, I know her. And when I see the commercial, I know her. She's a friend of mine. Isn't it awesome that we have this ability with technology to be able to one-on-one have a conversation like this? And that's what we try to do. And I love that she so openly shares what got her through her hurts and pains. And I love that we landed on forgiveness for quite a while tonight, because isn't that the key? That's what we all need. Because if we don't forgive others, our Heavenly Father will forgive us just to the amount of what we forgive other people. We need to forgive other people, because I don't want to be for unforgiven. Because I tell you what, if anybody needs to be forgiven in their life, it's me. I'm the top of that list because I stumble. We were just talking this morning in the book of James. The book of James, chapter 3, says we all stumble in many ways. And we all, we need to circle that, highlight it, and underline it. We all make mistakes. So why wouldn't we look at one of God's other creations and say, hey, wait, I forgive you because I've been forgiven? That's what it's all about. Take that into next week, and I promise you that's not going to come back without being blessed, and maybe let you have a better week. Thank you for joining us. Join us right here for another next week, another live edition from Houston, Texas, Breaking the Silence. Have an awesome, awesome week, and never, never give up on hope. There's always hope on this side of heaven. There's always hope. Hang on to it. Dig for it. Look for it. It's there just for you. God bless. Have an awesome week. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525. Or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.